thank you that you're here to meet us tonight, Lord, whatever that those needs are. Lord, each and every life, Lord, as we'll hear tonight, Lord, with you, you're going to change things in our lives, Lord. With you, you're making all the difference. Lord, no matter what the backgrounds are tonight, no matter what the needs are, you're here to meet us, Lord. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for each and every heart, Lord. And as the word goes forth, Lord, prepare our hearts. Give us faith, Lord, as we hear that word to believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'll do you one better. We offered Bibles, but if you don't have a Bible, I'm going to give you a Bible. Okay? When you come to youth camp, you got to have a Bible. Who needs a Bible? Who needs a Bible? Anybody need a Bible that didn't get one yet? Michael? You did? Okay. See, that's what happens when you stand up. Need one? Okay. Okay, anybody else? It helps. Like, more than you know. Okay. Nobody need one yet? All right, if you would, turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. So, I guess as the opening speaker, I get to welcome you a little bit. So, you know, I was thinking if I was at camp for the first time, and I've been to a few camps for sure, or maybe even if I've been to camp a few times, this one might feel different. You know, as I looked around, as I was coming on to the grounds today and driving in, you know, I grew up in Living Waters, but I now live out of state. And as I looked around, there's quite a few people who came in from Missouri. We heard there's some people that came in from China. That's pretty amazing. What if you've never been to a youth camp? Is anybody a little nervous about youth camp? Anybody kind of wondering, what is this? I've never gone to a youth camp. What's a church camp? If that's you, that's perfectly okay. If that's you, if you have any nervousness, that's okay. But let me tell you this. Your camp experience is going to get a lot better from here on out. There's no accidents whatsoever. I can tell you that on the authority of God's word. So you're here, there's not an accident whatsoever. I can look at every single set of eyeballs and tell you that the Lord loves you, that he's got a perfect plan and a purpose for you tonight. And this camp is for you. If ever you've looked around and felt like you were not enough, if ever you thought maybe you were too much, the Lord is here to meet you. So let's kind of dig into that a little bit. You know, a week ago, you were probably doing something totally different. Maybe 24 hours ago, you were doing something totally different. And yet I can tell you this, the Lord brought you here. With complete certainty, I can tell you that. Again, on the authority of God's word, there's no accident whatsoever that you're sitting where you're sitting and that you're where you are. You know, the thing about the Lord is, that's so wonderful, and what we find out about him at places like youth camp is that his call is whosoever will. You know, if it was a contest, maybe I'd get knocked out, but it's not. Here you are at youth camp. There's no guessing. You are where you need to be tonight. There's no worry. You're welcome here. There's no requirements. You know, here we are in summer. You have to, you know, I was at a splash pad yesterday. Did you know there's a height requirement to go on the slide? Did you know there's not a height requirement at youth camp? I think that's a pretty good deal. There's no contests. It doesn't really matter what your background is. Did you know the Lord welcomes you just as you are?
Amen.
Right where you are?
Amen.
With no conditions? That's a message of hope. I'm okay just the way I am. The Lord wants to change me. But he takes me right where I'm at. Your experience, your age, what about your personality? Even your skin color. Did you know the Lord accepts you just as you are? If you don't, that's the truth. He does. So you're welcome at youth camp. Even if you're unfamiliar, have never been to a youth camp, or wondering what in the world this camp is for you. So tonight what I'm going to speak to you on, Lord willing, is a simple theme. With God. And we think about that a little bit. What difference that makes? What if I'm different than you? What if you're different than me? What if I'm a big kid and you're a little kid? Or I'm a young kid and you're an old kid? Right? What makes all the difference is with the Lord. Any of the things that make me feel less than I might otherwise be. You know what the difference maker is? The Lord. He makes all the difference. So when I feel less than what I might be called to be, or less than I want to be in my own sight, you know what makes all the difference? The Lord. He's helped. As we read Scripture, we see so many times in which the Lord enabled people who were not able to accomplish the things that they might have wanted to had it not been for the Lord. So let's read Hebrews 13:5. Okay, we'll read two verses here for our main text. Hebrews 13:5. If you're not familiar with that, Hebrews is toward the back of the New Testament. Okay, and again, if you need a Bible, you just raise your hand and I'll get you one. Okay, Hebrews 13:5. So my version is the King James Version. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Verse 6 says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Okay, as we read this, we believe this author to be Paul, and he's saying, let your conversation, that's a big King James word. It means your manner of life, your way of going about things. Let it be without covetousness. Okay, and why? As we read on, that's a question you should ask. Why should our manner of life or way of being be without covetousness? He goes on to say, be content with such things as you have. Keep reading, it says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why would I be covetous? My manner of life changes as I realize he's with me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. This is a promise you have right here, right now. No conditions, right where you're sitting. This is a promise for you. Okay? Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, because of what's been said, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Right? These promises, because of the Lord, with the Lord, that makes all the difference. There's two important realities I'd like you to hold on to tonight as I'm speaking. The first is, again, you are right where you need to be. You're right where you need to be right now. What's more, you need the grace of God. You're right where you need to be, and you need the grace of God. You know, sometimes we wonder, does the Lord see me? Maybe my friends at school don't see me. But we wonder, does the Lord see me? Even as I'm saying, you're right where you need to be and you need the grace of God. Does the Lord see me? David sure thought he did. We read Psalm 139. I'll read you a couple verses. You're welcome to flip there. But David let us know how the Lord thought about him. This is from Psalm 139. Again, I'll read a little bit of it to you, but if you want, flip to it. Verse 2 tells us, thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them, the weight of them. Imagine that, all those thoughts, the weight of them. David found out there was a lot of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. So this is autobiographical. David's saying, this is what God thought about me. Did you know this is what God thinks about you? He sees you. Now, with those kind of promises, what might you be able to do? When I feel less, the difference maker is with God, right? We don't necessarily feel this. In fact, rarely do we feel these things. but we know them as a promise from the Lord. He knows my thoughts before I think them, my speech before I say it. That's pretty good knowing, wouldn't you say? Right? And not only does he know it, but he cares. He cares. That's pretty special. Have you ever had somebody love you? Get really up into your business and know you? Well, I promise you the Lord does. Amen. Like no one else. Okay. Let me ask you this. This is a little bit of a quiz question. Does anybody know what the first question God asked man is in the Bible? I'll give you a hint. It's in Genesis. Yeah. That's a good guess. Anybody else? Okay, Genesis. First question God asked man. The question was of Adam. And he asked Adam, where are you? So when we go back to that story, God had created Adam and Eve. Something happened. Adam in particular made a choice in which he went in his own way. Adam made a move. God didn't, but Adam made a move. And God asked him a question that he knew the answer to, but it was really for Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? Okay, Adam had made a move, didn't really realize what was going to happen, but he'd made a move. And what we see is no matter the choices that we make that might put difficulty in the relationship between the Lord and I, or maybe we've never really answered that call from the Lord, never really accepted that love, that saving grace from our sin. But the Lord immediately went in to restore that breach, that space between he and Adam. And when he said, Adam, where are you? It's not as if he couldn't see Adam, but he asked him, Adam, where are you? It was more of a heart condition than it was a location issue. And that's a question you and I can answer tonight. Where are you? Especially if you've never let the Lord have his way in your life. If you've never said, Lord, I believe you. I understand that I have this situation that separates me. I've never received the grace of God. I've never believed that you are here to take away my sin. Once and for all, that's the question. Where are you? So we go back to Hebrews 13:5 again. How is he with us? That's a fair question. You might ask, how is he with me? He says he's with me. How is he with me? Well, it's in proximity. He's close, right? In relationship. We were talking about Adam just a moment ago. He wanted that closeness he'd had with Adam. And he asked him, Adam, where'd you go? What'd you do? He immediately wanted to close that gap again with Adam. And he had that in mind the entire time. To bring Adam back into that relationship with him. He died spiritually, and the Lord wanted to make him alive again and restore that fellowship. But it's also in power. So how is he with us? He's with us in power. And I think we'll spend most of our time talking about that tonight. Okay. So what's interesting is Paul is actually referring to something that the Lord told Moses back in Deuteronomy 31. So let's read that. Okay. If you want, flip to Deuteronomy 31. So here in Deuteronomy 31, what we're reading is Moses near the end of his life, and the children of Israel are about ready to go into what was their land that was promised, right? And Moses knows he's not himself going to go, but this is what the charge that he gives the people. We're looking at Deuteronomy 31, 6. Here's what's said. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So Paul's referring to this in Hebrews 13. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? The Lord thy God, he himself. Did you see that? It's the Lord himself that goes before you. He will not fail thee. And that's not enough. Nor will he forsake you. He's with you and he won't forsake you either. Amen. Right alongside, and he's got it. All the things in my life that I'm concerned about, and I mean me, maybe you too. Well, I'm going to talk about me. The things that I'm concerned about in my life, he's got them. Yes. He said he wouldn't fail. He said he wouldn't forsake. And that's what Paul's referring to in Deuteronomy, from Deuteronomy 31. Well, we're talking about with God. Who do we know of when we read scripture and we look at Bible stories that God was with? How about David? You think the Lord was with David? Once, twice, maybe his whole life? So there's this temptation to think, well, that was David. It's not David. It's you. Amen. Not just David. Okay, so think about just maybe one of the most familiar stories, David and Goliath. Okay? That comes from 1 Samuel 17. You know, in that situation, David had a lot of things to wrestle with. He desperately needed the Lord to be with him. It wasn't just Goliath. There were some other characters in the story too. You remember King Saul said, David, how are you going to do this? Even King Saul himself said, David, what do you have in mind here, buddy? And he asked him, David, how are you going to do this? And David's answer was, well, there was a time where a lion and a bear came after my father's sheep. And he said, this Philistine's going to be like one of them. Now, why did David say that? On what basis? In essence, he was saying, well, I've got the Lord with me. Lion and the bear, this Philistine's going to be just like them. You can say that, right? You think that there's adult problems that only the Lord helps with? Absolutely not. He helps with kid problems too. That's what David was. When David's facing Goliath, he might have been our age, right in here. Not too much younger, right? And you can imagine Saul saying, what do you have in mind here, David? Ultimately, he said, he will deliver me. King Saul, he will deliver me, right? Saul wasn't just satisfied there. Saul wanted to help, or what he thought was help. He said, David, take my armor. You know what David's answer was? No, that's not what the Lord gave me. The Lord gave me my sling. I'm going to go with what the Lord gave me. And as you look at David, you think, David, you're so ill-prepared. You're so not ready for what's about ready to happen. And in fact, that's the exact opposite. Because with the Lord, he was with that sling. He was with David. He said, David, ultimately, David marches out. And this is what he says. Goliath, you come to me with a sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
Whom you have defied. David changed the narrative or the story. He talked about the reality. He said, Goliath, you've defied God. I'm just here as the instrument. I'm just the guy that's going to kill you. But you actually are you tangled with God. You tangle with me and my people. You've actually tangled with God. Did you know you can say the same thing in your life? Oh, Lord, this is something you need to take care of. Because you promised me you'd never fail me nor forsake me. Just like David, that same faith, that's not complicated. That's easy for us to understand. The Lord told you he'd do something and he asked you to trust him. He told you something that's true and he asked you to just step into it and say, okay, Lord, I believe that. That's all he's asking you. That's faith. Okay, Lord, you said that. I believe you. Okay, now do it. So what happens? David said, the battle is the Lord's. He will deliver you into our hands. Everything changed. Goliath said, I'm the aggressor. And David said, no, I'm the aggressor. No, I'm going to take your head off. Right? You know what happened? Because of that boldness that the Lord gave him, because the Lord was with him, when we read that story, it says David ran toward Goliath. Amen. You and I sit back in the stands and say, are you crazy, David? Right? No, not at all. Why? Because the Lord was with him. But you know what happens in the end? He did take Goliath's head off. But you know what Scripture tells us? There wasn't a sword in David's hand. He never took that sword up other than to take Goliath's head off. And he took Goliath's own sword. What I'm saying is the Lord was with him and that sling. That is how David killed Goliath. Okay, well, was it just David or maybe others like Samuel? So young Samuel became old Samuel. But you know what Scripture tells us about Samuel? It says that the Lord never let any of his words fall to the ground. That's not because Samuel was such a great guy in and of himself. Not a great guy because I wear a jacket or because I have a beard or because I'm standing in front of you at a microphone. Nope. If I'm great, it's because the Lord is with me. That's it. Same for you. If you're great, doing schoolwork, if you're great doing sports, if you're great doing life, it's because the Lord's with you.
Amen.
You want to know the reality of it? It's because the Lord is with you.
Amen.
Okay? So Samuel, the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground, and the Lord had quite a plan for Samuel, made him a wonderful prophet in Israel. Because Samuel had played by the rules, because he'd been a good guy his whole life, that's not in Scripture. It just says the Lord was with him. The Lord kept him. The Lord gave him what it is he needed. Well, maybe you've heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think the Lord was with them? I'll tell you, he was. He was definitely with them. Yeah. Okay, so what was their story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young Hebrew men who are faced with a situation where they're told to bow before a false idol, to worship a king and the image of a king. And they said, no, king, we won't do that. On the basis that, no, we're worshiping the Lord. We know that that is not for us. That's not the Lord. We worship the Lord and the Lord only. You could imagine that made the king furious, right? He says, I'm going to throw you in a furnace. And this is what they said. If so, our God is able to deliver us, right? So make sure you understand this. Huge, hot, fiery furnace. And they said, no, go ahead, throw us in. If that's what you're going to do, our God will deliver us.
Amen.
Right? Who says that? Unless the Lord is with you. That is the basis of that boldness. That's the basis of that faith. Oh, King, the Lord is with us. There's something you don't understand. We might be young. We might be inexperienced. And we may not be kings. But you know what? The Lord is with us.
Amen.
It says then, that, well, they said rather that our God is able to deliver us out of the furnace and your hand, King. Right? So not disrespectful, but this is the faith that you and I can have this very moment as we trust the Lord. This is what God's word says, and I believe that. You may contradict, King. You may say the situation is different, King Saul. This or that may be in complete opposition to what God's word says. We need to go with what God's word says. He's with us. He promised he'd never fail us nor forsake us. So what ends up happening? Anybody know the rest of this story? Tell me, real quick.
They're saved.
They're saved. Indeed they were. So three young men were thrown into the furnace, and the king says, I see four. Do you remember that part of the story? Three were thrown in, but the king says, I see four. And he had special clarity on that fourth one. He said, that fourth one looks like the Son of God. Right?
Yeah.
Did he promise he'd be with us?
Yeah.
Did he promise he'd never fail us or forsake us?
Yeah.
Is he in close proximity?
Yeah.
Is there power when we believe him?
Yeah.
They should have been burned up. As far as you and I are concerned, the king certainly thought they'd be burned up. Not with the Lord.
Yeah.
No. Ultimately, here's what we find out. Earlier, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had asked, well, who is that God? Did you know God answered that question for him? He was in the fire with them. Nebuchadnezzar asked, well, who is this God that will deliver you? God answered for himself, it's me. I'll be in the fire with them. And so that was the grace of God alone right there for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. So we can read these stories, and here's the temptation, particularly in our flesh. Well, that was a great Bible story, and that was thousands of years ago, right? Don't miss it. We can say, well, that's not me. That was the guy up front just telling me a story. No, this is the God that's for you. This is the Lord who's made a promise to you. And what separates that power from you is just believing it. Right? Whether it's to believe the Lord to be saved, whether it's to believe the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whether it's to believe the Lord to take you on to complete perfection, maturity, all the way to be married to him.
Amen.
That's your calling.
Amen.
It's as simple as that.
Amen.
Right? With the Lord. Me? Me? The Lord would be with me? I didn't do anything to get to that. He just made me a promise. That's for you.
Amen.
No conditions. Here we are at youth camp. You didn't have to pass a background check. You don't have to be this tall. The Lord just said he'd do this or that for you. You really can believe him just at his word. Okay. We have this temptation to think, well, that was different. They were not like me. I'm not qualified. Or some of us have the other problem. We think we're overqualified. Well, I don't need the Lord. You see what a big deal I am? Right? Either way, we need the grace of God. You're right where you need to be, and you need the grace of God. Okay. Well, who's the Lord with? Let's be just sure. What kind of people is the Lord with? What kind of people will he be with? Do you know it's plain people? Do you know it's rude people?
Amen.
Do you know it's even dumb people? I'm not trying to be funny. Sometimes people are hard-headed like me. Did you know the Lord's with me? Because he said he is. That's it. Has nothing to do with me as you see me standing here. Has to do with him. He said he was with me. That's the end of it.
Amen.
So I said plain people, rude people. What about poorly treated people? Do you think the Lord's with poorly treated people? What about wrongly accused people? What happens when you're in trouble? What happens when you're facing terrible circumstances? Is the Lord with people in that kind of a situation? He is. He is, for sure. What about people in danger? Is the Lord with people in danger? We think about somebody like Samson. You know the story of Samson, the guy with the long hair, right? So we have a mental image of Samson probably being something that he wasn't like at all. He didn't look like at all. He had long hair, but to see him, much like our Lord, probably wasn't much to look at. And that's what was so surprising. Samson, his story is he'd gone actually out of his way for so long to go against the Lord, actually. Was the Lord with Samson? In spite of all that? So, I'll just speak plainly to you. In spite of being a bonehead, Samson was kind of a bonehead for a while, right? Was the Lord with him? I've been a bonehead. The Lord's with me. He never left me. He won't forsake me. But even as he'd gone his own way for so long, the Lord never left him. His strength was a secret. Maybe in some ways to Samson himself. You know what that secret was? The Lord. That was the source of Samson's strength. It was the Lord. So his hair tells us it was a symbol of the glory of the Lord that was upon Samson. But it was the Lord. That was Samson's secret. It wasn't that he had big muscles. It was that the Lord was with him and gave him strength that he could not have had any other way. You read that, he picked up gates, picked them up and carried them. And did amazing other things because the Lord was with him. That's it. So as we have this temptation to think that that's not me or the Lord is for someone else, stay with me. He's for you. Gideon, you know the story of Gideon? Gideon felt less than you could possibly feel, lower than low. And yet the Lord meets him. If we read this in Judges 6, this is how the Lord greeted him. The Lord is with you. That's where he began, Gideon. The Lord is with you. Then he greeted him, thou mighty man of valor. This was when Gideon's feeling about as low as you can get. Lower than a mole. Lower than a snake. Low. And yet the Lord greeted him, telling him, the Lord is with you. Thou mighty man of valor. So when he doesn't feel it, the Lord greets him and tells him he's a mighty man of valor. Based on the Lord being with him. That's what made the difference. But did you know that Gideon had doubts? Much like you and I. He says, I'm the least in my father's house. Lord, did you get the right address? Because I'm not sure you're talking to me. I mean, you mean the other Gideon? Because You couldn't have possibly been talking to me. And yet the Lord was. Gideon said, yes, I got your number. I know how to reach you. And I am talking to you. I'm with you, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon went on to say, well, Lord, if you're with us, then why am I hiding wheat near a wine press, hiding from the Midianites? People are oppressing us. Is the Lord with Gideon? Is the Lord with you? He was. He met Gideon at the wine press where he's hiding wheat. And Gideon asked a very reasonable question. Well, Lord, why is it that then we're, in a sense, fearful for our lives? The Lord answered it this way. I'm with you, Gideon. It's so that you would see your need. It could be that that's what's going on in our lives on a daily basis. Lord, why do you give me needs? Why do I feel pressed? Why do I feel squeezed? Why do I feel as if I'm running for my life? Maybe not you, but Gideon, at the time, running for my life. And so we would see our need of him, and that we might actually plug into the power that the Holy Spirit has to give us in our lives to fulfill all the Word of God, to let him work that in our lives. Without needs, you'd never reach out to the Lord. And what happens with Gideon? We read on. He says, how am I supposed to do this? The Lord told him, you're going to go deliver Israel from the Midianites. Well, he says, how am I supposed to do this? Stay with me. This is where you lean in. You know what Gideon said? Or you know what the Lord told him? Gideon, I will be with thee. You'll smite the Midianites as one man. I don't have anything to tell you that's terribly difficult. It's so simple, I don't want you to miss it. The Lord promised to be with you. He promised to be with Gideon. That's the secret. Right? What about Joseph? Turn with me to Genesis 39. This one I want you to turn to because I think you need to see it for yourself. Look at a couple verses here. So as we look here in Genesis 39, we find Joseph still a slave, and yet the Lord is with him. Look here, Genesis 39:2. We read, follow this with your finger, Genesis 39:2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Look at verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian, or his master, for Joseph's sake. Look at verse 21 then. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph. For all the circumstances that happened to Joseph, but the Lord was with him. And finally in verse 23. It says, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So in spite of these awful circumstances that Joseph found himself in, and some of them you may be aware of, some of you may not be, the Lord was with him. The Lord hadn't failed him. The Lord had not forsaken him. What you need to understand is that you have the exact same Lord. The exact same Lord. This is not removed. This is right in your lap. You have the exact same Lord. You're right where you need to be, and you need the grace of God. So we have hang-ups with circumstances and our abilities. Sometimes, again, we think we don't have any abilities, and other times we overestimate our abilities and think we're more than capable to handle this or that, right? We might say, well, if you only knew this or that about me. Did you know the scripture has no condition for that? I don't need to know this or that about you. But you know the Lord already does. The Lord already knows your circumstances. We might say, well, you don't understand my family background. You don't understand the difficulties I have in my life. I might not. But did you know the Lord does? And there's no condition whatsoever. He promised you he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Flesh focuses on the past. To some degree, it focuses on the present. But did you know the new man does not? The new man focuses on who the Lord has made me now and what he's promised to do for me in eternity. Amen. The word tells me I'm seated with him right now in heavenly places, in the heavenlies, and many, many other promises. The new man doesn't live in the past. He knows what the Lord has done for him now, and the focus is on the grace of God. The new man focuses on the grace of God, the power of God that's with me, not the circumstances. God may not change your circumstances, but he said he'd be with you. He said that he'd bring power into your life, particularly when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he doesn't focus on circumstances or our own abilities. That's where we tend to go. The flesh focuses on the past, somewhat to current circumstances and our own abilities. But the new man focuses on the grace of God. Flesh would have us crawling around like a baby. You know, if I were to put on a diaper and crawl around, you'd think there was something wrong with me, right? I might want to live right here where I've been. And yet the Lord wants to take me on. That's the difference of when the Lord is with you. He changes you from what you would have been into what you can be. Right? So, let us just say this as we near the close. Do you know what the testimony of every believer is? Every believer that's ever walked with the Lord. Do you know what their testimony is? God said, I will. And he did.
Amen.
I am so thankful for that.
Amen.
Did you know God said, I will? That's the basis of every promise. God said, I will. And then afterward, every believer says, and he did. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Right? Now, I might be in a season where I'm waiting for him to deliver on that. But did you know he will?
Yes.
Just because I'm waiting doesn't mean he won't. Three Hebrew children still went into the furnace. David still had to face Goliath. Gideon still had to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. And there are circumstances in your life. You may still have to go through fifth grade. May not get to dodge that one. But did you know what? The Lord is with you.
Amen.
As scared as you might be to go into high school, as fearful as you might be to face such and such friends that you just left a month and a half ago, the Lord's with you. That's what makes all the difference.
Amen.
So as we flip back, if you would, let's look at what he said in Hebrews one more time. Based on all these promises, this is what Paul said, referring to what Moses told the children of Israel. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, because of that promise, I have boldness in my life. I have boldness I would have never had otherwise. Because he'll never leave me nor forsake me, we can boldly say, what are the promises in your life? What are the things that he's going to do in your life that he's promised you? That you can boldly say, because the Lord gave that to me. The Lord gave me that promise. What is it you can boldly say? Think about that. It says in verse 6, he's my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's a biggie. Man's all around me. Circumstances are all around me. But because the Lord said this, I don't have any reason to fear. That goes for me as much as it goes for you. Because of what he's done, I have no reason to fear. Right? He's promised me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's a biggie. Not just leave me, but he won't forsake me either. He's there to meet every single need tonight. What's the Lord promised you? What do you need to believe him for? What do you need to receive? How do we receive? We just believe it. Right? The difference is he's made this promise I need it in my life. What makes that active in my life? Just believe in the Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe you. Give me the faith to believe you. That's how we walk with the Lord. The Lord is with you.